All right, welcome to Hebrew Club, and we are right at the end of Micah chapter 3, right the last section, verses 10 through 12. And if you remember last week, we focused first of all on the prophets and the condemnation of the prophets who preached in exchange for food and things like that. And Micah prophesied that darkness would come upon them and they would have no more visions. And also, in contrast, Micah said that he was full of the Spirit of the Lord and that he was going to proclaim to Jacob and Israel their iniquity and their sin, all right? Then in verse 9, he speaks again about the rulers in general and their crimes. And so we're going to pick it up at verse 10, in which he includes all of these groups again as kind of a conclusion to this chapter before he moves on to something totally different, chapter 4. So verse 10 starts, Bonetzion bedamim, v'Yerushalayim be'avla. Notice that that first word is a participle, boneh, and it's a substantive, O one who builds, or you who build. Zion with damim, with bloodshed. Notice that that's a plural of blood. And usually when we're talking about a plural form, sometimes it's like, the blood stains or blood, blood kind of puddles of it. Here, bloodshed is actually a good translation. And a lot of people think that with this singular participle, he's talking about Ahaz. In 2 Kings 16, remember, Ahaz sacrificed his son. He got involved in the pagan practices. And so he may be speaking to Ahaz, O you who build Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with avla, with corruption or with deceit or something like that is a good word for avla. And then he goes on, notice he switches in the next verse to the plural form, talking about these groups of people again. So, Rasheha Beshochad Yishpotu, her heads. Notice again, a lot of translations will simply say her leaders, in exchange for a bribe. Shochad is bribe, and bait, notice, you're going to see the bait used with this function throughout this verse. So her heads in exchange for a bribe, yishpot, they judge. In other words, they're not impartial judges. They're not fair. They're not trying to dispense justice. Notice that the long vowel after the pay, the holam, there, because the word is in pause, yishpotu rather than yishpatu. Just that's why that form is, the full vowel comes back. So her heads, in exchange for a bribe, judge, and her priests, kohaneha, bimchir yoru. This is kind of an interesting line. And her priests, and again the her refers to Jerusalem, in exchange for a price, mechir is a price, they yoru, they teach. That's from yara. This is a hifil, imperfect form, all right? So evidently the priests were charging people for their instruction, and I guess we're talking about in God's word, in the law, in the story of Israel, all of those kinds of things, religious instruction for a price, all right? So the leaders, the priests, and the next line, notice it's the prophets, unevieha bekesev Yiksomu, and her prophets in exchange for money or silver, Yiksomu, they divine. Kasam means to be a diviner, to divine. This is, again, a call imperfect. All right, so they practice divination in exchange for money. All right. Ve'al Adonai Yisha'enu Lemor, and on the Lord they lean. This is a nifal form from sha'an, nifal imperfect. It means to lean upon, all right? So in other words, all these leaders are doing these reprehensible things, and yet they're relying on Yahweh, saying, and here comes their direct quote, Halo Adonai bekirbeinu, is not Yahweh in our midst? Lo tavo aleinu ra'a, not will come on us evil or calamity, ra'a. Mm. See, so notice that their life reflects everything but following in the way of Yahweh, and yet they lean on him and say nothing's going to happen. And again, that's kind of the message of the false prophets in contrast to Micah, who prophesies and is proclaiming their sin, as we saw in the previous verse, and proclaiming disaster on the people. All right, then the chapter. Go ahead.
Does
any question?
Qasam always have a negative connotation, divine?
Yeah, usually that, it talks about practices of divination. And when you're talking about that, it would be things like reading the entrails of an animal or reading the flight of a bird, for example, or, you know, other kinds of practices like that, trying to divine the future, divine God's will. Mm-hmm. And you see that in the pagan religions, right, surrounding Israel as well. So those practices were being taken up by these prophets, these false prophets. And again, he's talked about these guys before. All right.
And priests receiving payment, that would be over and above what they received as the offering.
That's a good question. That's a good question. It must be that they were demanding too much, you know. And even remember in 1 Samuel, the sons of, who was it, the priest at that time? The evil sons were not carrying out the sacrifices right, were taking too much from the meat, those
right.
kinds of things. And so probably practices related to that.
Hophni and Phinehas.
Yeah, Hophni and Phinehas were those sons. All right. So here at the end of the chapter, you have this famous Lachane again. Here it comes, right? Lachane, therefore, big Lalkem, because of you. That's just big Lal means on account of or because of. It's a causal particle. Therefore, on account of you, Zion, Sada, Techaresh. So Zion, a field, will be plowed up. Techaresh is a Nifal imperfect from Charash, means to plow or to dig up. And so notice how Zion, I love how you read this. If you just read it with the Hebrew, you get Zion, a field. All right, and you're wondering, okay, what's the relationship between these words? And finally the verb comes down and tells you, Zion, a field, will be plowed. So Zion will be plowed as a field. All right. Virushalayim and Jerusalem, Iyin Tihya, Jerusalem heaps. This is a plural form. I want to just kind of, you guys all to look at this. The singular is just an ayin yud, e. And here you have a nun ending, which is the plural for Aramaic word, all right? Aramaic plural. And so here you have kind of a strange ending. And the other couple of places where this form occurs is in, we are at the end of the last verse of Micah 3. Thanks for coming, by the way. The other places has the regular mem for the ending of the masculine plural form. So this is kind of an interesting form here. So Jerusalem, heaps of ruins. That's what a heap of ruins. So heaps of ruins will be. Vehar habayit, and the mountain of the house, levamot ya'ar. Okay, bamot is high places, and ya'ar is forest. So, and the mountain of the house of the Lord will become like, notice the lamed, will become like the high places of a forest. So in other words, if you think of a forest as kind of rolling hills, there's trees and plants that are growing on it. So he's really saying Jerusalem is just going to become a heap of ruins, and the Lord's house will be just grown over. So it'll be like a high place in the forest, all right, just kind of grown over and ruins, so to speak, all right? I want you guys to kind of look over the wording there, because when we get into chapter 4, you're going to see it reflected, but in kind of this great contrast, all right? First of all, does anyone have any questions about those verses? Notice the margin in the Masoretic text. It's Chatzei HaSefer B'Pesukim. That means half the book in verses. So the Masoretes are telling you that when you get to verse 12, you're halfway through the book when you're counting verses.
Hmm.
They love to count that stuff.
Do you do that for every book?
Yeah, they'll have a place where the halfway point. See there, I just turned to Ezekiel. When you get to the end of Ezekiel 25, halfway through the book in verses. And at the end, they have other information where they count out I don't know how I did that. That was kind of a miracle.
That was great.
That was unbelievable.
That's like, open up the hymnal. Yeah, up the hymnal. And
I mean, what are the chances of me getting halfway through Ezekiel by doing that? All right.
There it is.
There it is. All right. Any other questions through chapter 3? Because now we're moving from this book of doom in the first three chapters to what's normally called the book of visions in chapter 4 and 5. And you're going to see this great passage right at the beginning of chapter 4. All right. And so he's moving now from this lachain, therefore this is what's going to happen. And notice how that verse 12 has reflected what we saw in chapter 1 and in the previous chapters as well, this destruction for Jerusalem and Zion. And notice he's focusing on the south here, actually. All right. So, verse 1 of chapter 4, Vehaya, is in here. All right, chapter 4, verse 1. Vehaya, be'acharit hayamim, yihyehar beit Yahweh. And it will come to pass, be'acharit hayamim, at the end of the days. All right, now remember, acharit is always used, it means the end part. But when we're thinking time, it means the future from our perspective. Mm-hmm. The Rishon, first things, refers to the past. So you'll see the former things, Rishon, Rishonim, Rishonot, and then the future things, Acharit. So notice he's talking about at the end of, and so a lot of translations, it will happen at the end of days. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, will be the mountain of the house of the Lord. Okay, now I just want you to see how this is a great hinge with the last line of verse 12, because the last line of verse 12 says, and the mountain of the house will become high places of the forest. And it will come to pass at the end of days, the mountain of the house of the Lord will become Nakon. Okay, here is a Niphal participle from the root kun, to be established. And remember, when you have passive forms of verbs, they're very often modifiers of other nouns. All right, they have this kind of adjectival function. You're going to see that in two places here. So here's the Niphal. The mountain of the house of the Lord will be established. Berosh Heharim. The bait is kind of a bait of essence as the top of the mountains. Okay. Vet Nissa Hu Migvaot. And again, this Nissa is a Niphal participle as well from Nasa. Notice the Nun has assimilated, and you have that Dagish preceded by a short vowel. And it will be lifted up, Hu. So again, the mountain of the house of the Lord. It will be lifted up, Mi Gevaot, from the hills. Okay, Giva is hill, Gevaot is hills. Venahar Alav Amim. Nahar is a simple call. This is a vav plus perfect form. Nahar, to flow. And amim is the subject. And again, notice the word order. This is very common. When you have a short preposition, it's verb, short preposition, subject. And peoples will flow alav, to it. All right, so this is a beautiful verse. And, you know, you see this section also in Isaiah 2. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're going to see, it's very familiar. It's talking now for us about the eschatological future that's in store for us. So, I mean, it's kind of full of meaning for us, and a lot of connections start coming into our head when Micah starts to talk this language. Okay, any questions about verse 1, about the grammar? Okay, notice right now, too, that he's using vowels plus perfects here. So you have that venissa, venaharu, ve, and now you see it in verse 2. Vehaku goyim rabim. And they will come, namely goyim rabim. Many nations will come, ve'amru, and they will say, notice the vav plus perfect, and here's their speech, leku v'na'ale el har Yahweh. This is an imperative from halak, masculine plural, come and let us go up from, this is simple call, first common plural, from Allah. Come and let us go up to har, the mountain of Yahweh, the El Beit Elohei Yaakov, and to the house of the God of Jacob. Now notice the switch in verbs is what I want you to see. Ve'yorenu midrakav. See that now from, instead of vav plus perfect, you have a vav plus imperfect form. And this is from Yara. It's a hifil, and it's the same form that we saw up in chapter 3, verse 11, Yoru. Okay? And here you have, he will teach us. So it's the same form with the first common plural suffix. So it's a hifil from Yara. And he will teach us of derakav, his ways. Ve'nelka, again, notice the vav plus imperfect from halak, first common plural. And we will walk be'or chotav, in his paths. All right, so notice you have imperative, leku, and then cohortative, vav plus the cohortative, not aleh. All right, and then vav plus what we would probably say is adjusive form, and vav plus cohortative. So you could probably translate those as a purpose or result. So you translate, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, so that he might teach us of his ways and so that we might walk in his paths. Okay? It's a way to kind of get that nuance in. He's not predicting anymore. He's speaking. Notice he's mimicking or speaking in the voice of the nations who are eager to go see Yahweh. Okay? Questions up to that point?
Sometimes there's no real difference between a vav plus perfect and a vav plus imperfect.
Right.
The function is the same.
Right. Sometimes you'll see it and it's hard to distinguish a nuance here. Mm-hmm. Usually when you have volative forms, especially when you have an imperative followed by adjusive or cohortative, very common, it's purpose or result. And I think you can translate it very easily here that way. Okay? There's that last line then in verse 2, Ki mit Zion teitzei Torah, for from Zion will come out Torah. That's from Yatzah, simple call, imperfect. And the word of the Lord, Devar Adonai, mi Yerushalayim, from Jerusalem. Okay, so notice again the reversal that you're getting in these first two verses from the last couple verses of chapter 3, in which Jerusalem and Israel are going to be ruins, in which these leaders are all corrupt, and they think they're going to be safe, but at the end of time there's going to be this reversal, and nations are going to come to hear the word of Yahweh, and the house of the Lord, rather than being destroyed, is going to be exalted, and the word of the Lord is going to come from the very place that in the previous chapter has been devastated. So you get this juxtaposition of oracle of hope, oracle of promise, with oracle of doom, right, with kind of no transition in between. So it's like the whole thing has been resurrected. So you know, if you kind of think of chapter 3 as, boy, this death that's happening to God's people, to Israel, to the house, here's this resurrection happening. Okay? Now notice he goes back to vav plus perfects in verse 3. Veshafat ben amim rabim, and he will judge between many peoples, or maybe bring justice between many people. Vehokiach legoyim atzumim ad rachok. This vehokiach is again a hifil form from yakach, and it only occurs, I think, in the hifil. It means to rebuke or to reprove or to judge or to decide between. It's a synonym with shafat. All right? So something like he will decide between, or he will judge or arbitrate between goyim, atzumim, nations, and here atzum means mighty or numerous, either one. Ad rachok, from afar. So notice that in our idiom, that ad, we wouldn't translate to a distance. Well, we could, but it's easy to say from a distance. In English, it sounds better. So he will judge between many people, and he will arbitrate for mighty nations from afar or to a distance. Okay, now here's the great section I want to read, and I'll probably end with this one. Vekittu charvotehem le'itim. This vekittu is from katat, and it means to crush, to beat, or to hammer, and it's a PL form, notice. And they will hammer or beat charvotehem, their swords. This is from cherev. Okay, charvotehem, their swords, into itim. That's a plowshare. Whatever a plowshare is, it cuts in the ground. You can kind of imagine what it is. Vachanitot tehem, chanit is a javelin or a spear, and their spears into maz meirot. Again, a rare word, it means pruning hooks. Basically, they're going to beat their weapons of war into farm implements. Okay? Not yisu goy el goy cherev. Not will lift up nation to nation a sword. So nation will not lift up against a nation a sword. And notice you have yisu is the imperfect plural, with the goy is singular, but it's a collective form. And so again, with collective nouns, depending on the noun, depending on the author, you are going to sometimes get a singular verb form, sometimes a plural verb form. All right. And actually, every word seems to behave differently and in different books and inconsistently within different books. It's really an interesting issue. All right. And not yilmedun, not will they learn ode again milchama, not will they learn again war. That yilmedun, again, is a call imperfect with a paragogic nun at the end. And that nun doesn't seem to add any semantic meaning or anything like that. All right. That's a good place for us to stop, because verse 4 takes the vision farther, but in just a little different direction. So we'll stop there for today. Any questions through those three verses about anything? It's a breathtaking vision. Yeah, Will.
How much of that is reflected in Isaiah? A lot of it, right?
Yeah, it's very close wording.
Is it word for word?
I'm not going to say it's word for word. There may be a few differences, and
basically
I can't
phrase
remember.
For phrase? Not
yeah,
true.
Something like that.
Okay.
The same kind of thing is followed, right?
And what do they think about who's using who? Or if
well,
it's
it just depends. I mean, a lot of people think Mike is using Isaiah, but you can always make the argument that's from a common source, mm-hmm. something like that. There's a lot written about the vision itself and where it may have come from.
Mm-hmm.
But true. All right.
Because that doesn't happen often, where one prophet, word for word.
Not often. I mean, you see certain phrases, you see kind of an intertextuality going on at a lot of different levels.
But would you say this is the most sustained
in the prophets?
Repetition in the prophets?
Right offhand, I'll say yes, but I could be wrong about that.
Yes.
It's hard for me to say, but
seems like it.
It seems like, yeah. I mean, you have certain psalms that repeat themselves too, so just depends. Yeah. All right. All right. Thanks very much, you guys. Appreciate you coming.